God has been dealing with me greatly. As many of you probably are aware, probably know, I've been going through a dry time. And God yanked me up by my bootstraps and began to deal with me and show me some things in His Word that I want to share with you. And it's changed my attitude and my outlook. How many here have ever, or maybe even now, have got things going on where the tendency is to become weary because you've been praying and seeking God for something and the answer has not come, or it doesn't appear that the answer has come? And yet I want to bring to your remembrance, just like God has brought it to mind by the Spirit of God, that when you pray in faith, you have what you receive or what you believe for. You receive it at that moment. And once again, the struggle is not the outcome, but the timing involved. We know that. Okay? And sometimes it's easy to get a little discouraged. It's easy to get a little, even for me. Well, I'm sure you didn't know that. But you know, it's easy to get a little discouraged and say, okay, God, what is going on? And what happens is, once again, that's an avenue that the enemy uses to suck us into self-pity, doubt and unbelief, and take us off of our stand. Scripture says, having done all to stand, stand. Amen? And then it goes on to tell you to get a hold of the armor, get it on, and start using it. Amen? So my point is that when you look at these things, how many people have gone through something where it seems like you got the victory and then turn right around and just like the children of Israel, you feel like you're going around Mount Sinai one more time? Sometimes it feels like you've been doing 50 years instead of 40 years. Amen? Proverbs 6, verses 30 and 31, if you're taking notes, or you can turn there, either way you don't have to. Proverbs chapter 6, verses 30 and 31, or 30 through 31. I want to read you something that's very interesting. How many know the enemies and the devil's a liar, comes to steal and kill and destroy? And sometimes he doesn't have to be demonstrative. He just got to put a little thought, or you just need to go through a little dry place where all of a sudden, you know, you're starting to listen to him and you don't even realize you're listening to him. In fact, he didn't even have to talk to you. You just kind of go there automatically. How many know what I'm talking about? Well, here's what it says in Proverbs chapter 6. It says, people do not despise a thief if he steals to satisfy himself when he is starving. Yet when he is found, he must restore sevenfold that he may have to give up, or he may have to give up all the substance of his house. Now that's something that God enforces. What happens is, all of a sudden the light clicks on when you finally get in God's presence and you finally get tired of being in the mully grubs and you say, God, no matter what, we're going through. I'm going through. The people are going through. You have to prophesy that sometimes. Sometimes you have to stand up and you have to just prophesy that this is not going to stay. I'm not happy where I'm at and I'm tired of living like this and I'm going on no matter what. Why? What gives you the opportunity or what gives you the thought or the audacity to think that you can do that, or to say those kind of things? Well, it's the promises of God, which in Him are what? Yes and amen, or so be it. Amen? Praise the Lord. I want to remind you, you can turn there, or you can just take the notes and write it down, Romans 11:29, a familiar scripture to most folks. And I want to read you a couple little footnotes from the dictionary, Webster's Dictionary, about it. But what it says is, for the gifts and calling of God are irrevocable. If you read it in the Amplified, it says He never changes His mind, nor does He withdraw those gifts when once they're sent, and to whom they're sent to. Did you hear that? Listen, folks, this will set you free. He never changes His mind when He sends those gifts. They're irrevocable. They can't be taken from you, and He doesn't seek to or desire to take them back, nor will He take them back. Now let me tell you what that word irrevocable means from the dictionary. It says, it's not possible to revoke. How many know, or maybe how many of you, like I myself when I was a younger guy, got their license revoked? I'm tattling on myself. That's been a lot of years ago. The rest of it says unalterable. And you know that's even based on what you do, that they can't be altered? Even based on what you do? God never changes His mind. You may shrink back, you may step back, but God never changes His mind. So His gifts and His calling, it's not possible to revoke them, and are unalterable. Now that word gift in the concordance is grace or gifts denoting extraordinary powers, or extraordinary if you prefer that better, powers distinguishing certain Christians and enabling them to serve the church of Christ, the reception of which is due to the power of divine grace operating on their souls by the Holy Spirit. Are you with me? That's what that gift is talking about. It's grace or gifts denoting extraordinary. I'd say everything about God is extraordinary. From the moment that He conceived the plan to cause mankind to come on this earth for His purpose and pleasure, for fellowship with Him, to the point where mankind more or less spit in His face, committed treason, and He redeemed man back with a plan that basically cleansed us and changed us physically, spiritually, and emotionally. Amen? By our receiving it. It's not only for the fivefold ministry, but it's for those who have been given gifts in the body, which is every one of us. He gives us gifts. And those gifts are given for one purpose, for His plan and purpose, to build the kingdom and to prosper the kingdom of God. Amen? Praise the Lord. Now I want to remind you what it says in Proverbs 18:16. Again, a familiar scripture, probably to most, but it's very important that we understand this. For those of you who have been seeking God and asking God, even crying out, God, where do I belong? What do I need to be doing? What is your plan for me? Listen to this. He's placed gifts within you. You're operating in some of those gifts right now. Maybe it's a gift of hospitality. Maybe it's a gift of greeting. Anything. Could be a gift of sowing. Sowing. Sowing like thread and needle. Sowing money. That's a gift. There's an anointing for that too. Amen? That's some of the gifts that are irrevocable. In Proverbs 18:16, it says, "And a man's gift makes room for him and brings him before great men." Now, I'm not telling you don't continue to seek God, but I'm telling you stop and take a step back from where you are right now and what you've been operating in. Look at the joy and the peace and the satisfaction of your spirit from where you are right now, what you have done to give out of what God has given you. Amen? Knowing that God has given them out and He's not taking them back. Even if you sit on them and don't do a thing with them, like Bob talked about, the wicked servant who didn't do anything with the one talent that he got given. Which is how many years' salary? I believe it was 16 years. 16 years' salary. Woo-hoo! That's something to think about. That word gift is a different word altogether. It means gifts, offerings, or presents. Those are the things God's given you. And they need to be a gift and an offering and a present from you to the people you come in contact with. Amen? To the people that you're responsible for. Now you say responsible. We're not talking about like a pastor in a church. We're talking about beyond that, in everyday life, you are responsible for certain people. People you work with, your family members, your children, your grandchildren, your bosses, the people you are in contact with every day. You've been given responsibility for them. You're supposed to give reason for the hope that's within you when you're asked. Amen? Hallelujah. But because things don't move quite as fast as we like, or because things didn't turn out or haven't turned out just the way we kind of were hoping they would, we get down to the mully grubs. We think, okay, God, what's going on? There must be something wrong with me. And that's not true. How many know God doesn't make junk? Did you hear me? God doesn't make junk. There are no accidents with God. You've heard me say that before. There are no accidents with God. There are no mistakes. No oops. I'm reminded of the secular song out there that says, "Oops, there it is." No such vocabulary in God's vocabulary. We're going to read a rather lengthy portion of Scripture Coming back to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. We're going to start in verse 12 and continue on through verse 30. How many know that you're sons and daughters of God? Not you will be someday, but you are sons and daughters of God. How's that possible? It's possible because of what it says in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Old things have passed away, behold, all things become new. You're a new species or being that never before existed. The day that you say, Jesus, I acknowledge you as the Savior and the Lord. I acknowledge that I need you in my life. Come in, take control, be my Lord and my King, and I yield to you. And right then and there, the old passed away, never to live again, and the new was produced. The new was conceived and brought forth in birth. Amen? Glory to God. Read along with me, please. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. The blessings that come to us, God uses other men to bring to us when it comes to finances. But the blessings come from God, however He seeks to do that, whether it's supernaturally or naturally. Amen? For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. Now, what I want to add here, and I want you to look at, is the fact that when you get caught up in goofy thoughts about, God, I don't understand why this hasn't come out the way I thought it was supposed to, the way I prayed. I don't understand why I haven't seen you move and things. Isn't that flesh? And if you sow to the flesh, you will what? Of the flesh reap corruption. It's not going to come through your intellect, your mentality, or your wishing and hoping. It's going to come by staying steadfast in the Word of God, in His presence, in His Word, in fellowship with Him, and knowing that what He said, what does the Scripture say? He will do. Amen? Glory. Glory. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if you live by the Spirit, but if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, casting down vain imaginations and all those things that exalt themselves, or those high things that exalt themselves against the knowledge of God. For me to believe, or for me to stay in a place, or for you to stay in a place where you think God's not moving in your behalf, or you think God's not, He's not interested in that area of your life where you've been crying out and living for years, maybe just a few years, maybe many years, it would mean that God has lied. And that's not possible, is it? Let me read it again. It says, for if you live according to the flesh, fleshly thoughts, fleshly deeds, you will die. But if by the Spirit, what is the Spirit? What is the job of the Holy Spirit? To bring teaching, illumination, revelation, peace, comfort. Isn't He called the Comforter? So you stay steadfast in that. And guess what? Those other thoughts can't stay. Amen? Now we all wonder, okay, God, what are you up to? Or why, Lord, how long am I going to have to stay in this place? Or why am I back in this place? Well, if you get caught up in that, you're going to get sidetracked for a little while. Maybe for a long while. Don't do it. Don't do it. There's nothing at the end of that except heartache. And that's not what God sent. Or what His plan for us is it? You all didn't say amen or nothing, I'm telling you. But if you live by the Spirit, you'll put to death the deeds of the body, and you will live. For as many, listen carefully, as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Are you led by the Spirit? These are sons of God. If you're led by the Spirit, like we already said, you are a son of God and a daughter of God right now. Praise the Lord. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear. Okay? And what are goofy thoughts and things and goofy, things we encounter on a daily basis? Or, I just don't understand why so-and-so treated me that way. What did I do that was wrong? What doesn't make any difference? What are we told to do? Walk in what? Walk in love. Walk in love. And what does love do? What is the manifestation of love? Never considers a suffered wrong. never rejoices at injustice or unrighteousness. Never seeks its own will or its own way. It's not puffed up. Doesn't stand there and say, look at me, I'm something. Jesus did everything he did in humility as a servant. Servant of God, but as a servant of God's creation. Amen? For you did not receive the bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of what? Going back to 2 Corinthians 5:17, the spirit of adoption. You're a new species or being. If salvation is new every day, then that means even though you've got some maturity, God's thoughts and plans are new every day also. We have the ability to walk in that. That doesn't mean the old plans fade away. But every day we ought to grow stronger in the assurance that God's got it under control. Amen? I don't care what it is. I don't care what it is. I'm repeating that not only for your benefit, but for mine. And it doesn't mean you've got the idea you're going to give up or go back. Amen? We're not going to shrink back. But sometimes we struggle with these things, don't we? Be of good cheer. Spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father, Daddy God. How many remember the scripture when Jesus was being tempted after he came off the mountain? It said that if you turn this stone into a piece of bread. And Jesus said, man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Hang on to what God's already spoken to you, whether it's through a prophecy He's given to you directly, through the Holy Spirit, or someone has spoken to you. Amen? I got to tell you, I was reminded about an Easter, probably, I'm guessing, more than 30 years ago, at an altar on Easter morning, where God spoke to me, and it reminded me of that. I've lost sight of it. That's been a long time ago. And all of a sudden, He reminded me. And then He began to speak to me and tell me, my gifts and calling are without repentance. What I've spoken over you, I'll do it. And you know what? We don't want it to come in our time because it won't have the impact, or it may have no impact if it's in our time. Amen? We want it to do what God planned for it to do and what God designed for it to do. Amen? Through us, for other people. Isn't that what it's about? Is it all about us? Is it all internal or is it external? Are we that vessel that's standing there with the water flowing, and as the water fills the cup, it flows out? You know what that means? That means two things. It means, number one, other people are getting the benefit, but it means that there's no stagnancy in you because you're that vessel. Amen? Glory to God. Glory to God. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Once again, I ask you, are you the child of God? Are you a child of God? Hallelujah. By your declaration and your own prophecy. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. Now we all know that all glory goes to God, but God brings glory on those who fulfill His plan and the destiny He's placed in their life. Amen? But it's all returns back to God. Amen? It's all given back to God. He's the one who enabled us to do that. Amen? Glory. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. These little things that we get all bent out of shape about, we get all down the molly grubs and stuff, we can't even compare them with the glory that God has planned for us. The greatest glory is that day when we stand face to face with Him. When we've transcended from this life into the next life, we've taken on the immortal body and put off the mortality, and we're with Him. Glory to God. Man, I'm telling you. But that's not the only thing He's promised. He's promised us blessings in this life so we can live this life, so we can demonstrate His power and authority and blessings to other people to show that He is real. Thus, we're salt and light. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. For I consider that the sufferings... You know, sometimes we kind of lick our wounds. We're like an old dog, you know. We're just kind of suffering, you know, God, you know, woe is me, you know. And sometimes we speak calamity on ourselves. We bring that heaviness on ourselves by what we speak. I'm reminded of the scripture all of a sudden that says, don't be deceived, God's not mocked. What a man sows, that will he also reap. That means even in your thought life, folks. Are you with me? Even in your thought life. Verse 19, for the earnest expectation of creation, of the creation, eagerly waits, not, oh God, are you ever going to come? Oh, not another day, but eagerly waits. Hallelujah. It's a new day. I've got breath in my body. I woke up this morning. I've got a new opportunity to see what God's going to do today. I got an opportunity for Him to use me today. Amen? Not only where I'm called, but in outside that realm. Amen? Because the first calling is to be a light in the world. Amen? Hallelujah. Am I confusing you? Are you with me so far? Praise the Lord. I don't want to lose you. I want you to get the full benefit of this, so I'm trusting the Holy Spirit. God's doing the work. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. Eagerly waits. There's people out there eagerly waiting for us to stand up. Get out of ourselves long enough to be that light in this world. Amen? When you're down in the mully grubs or you're fussing and fuming about things, or considering everything but the fact of what God's given you and what His plan for you is and what His promises are in you, you can't be someone that they even want anything to do with. How many know what I'm talking about? Nobody's experienced that. It's okay to be honest. God knows anyway. You can't fight it from Him. Be careful, though. Don't lie. We'll have to start casting the lying spirits out of this place. Oh, come on. Lighten up. Jeez. This is not a heavy message. This is a message of joy. Hallelujah. For the creation was subject to futility, not willingly. You were brought into sin not willingly. You were born into sin not willingly. But by the deeds of someone who rebelled against God. Some people who rebelled against God. But the good news is, that's the bad news. The good news is, you're not there anymore. You're not there anymore. Because you said, Lord Jesus, I need you. Come into my life. Amen? So now every day is new. The Scripture says, I don't care what people will do to me. I won't even consider that. Because I know. Another Scripture that comes to my mind is, I know whom I have. I know the one I've believed in. And I am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed and what He's committed to me. I've committed it to Him and He's committed it to me. Against that day. Amen? Hallelujah. For creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but of Him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Where we are right now, folks, where we are right now, we walk in salvation. But you know, we have not attained the full manifestation of that salvation at this point. Amen? We're pressing towards that goal. We're running the race to attain that prize at the end of that race. Amen? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. Not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly awaiting for the adoption and the redemption of our body. Okay? Let's go back and consider verse 18. For I consider that the sufferings, and let's face it, we think it's suffering, don't we? We call it suffering. In many cases, in all honesty, I got an amen nod from Karen. How many of you have ever desired something and you went and got another part-time job or you went and got a job period so that you could get what it was that you wanted? Nobody here has done that? I worked hard for my first car. My dad went and got it. He got it for a good price, but I had to pay him back. And that's fine with me. That taught me something. To value things. Amen? But the point is that God has gifts and things that He's given to us and that are far more important, but who gave you the ability to go out and get that job, the health to do it, and to bring in that monetary gain so that you could get what it was you were desiring? Now my next question is, how many of us, I feel like the hammer's coming down on my thumb, think about the first thing, which is giving out of that blessing to the Lord? Ooh. Let's move right along here. Verse 23, not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves, growing within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. For we were saved in this hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. Oh, wait a minute. That must be a misprint. Did it just say hope that is seen is not hope? What do you hope for? I mean, there's no more hope when you've already got what it is you're looking for, you're desiring, right? You don't have any more hope. You've got the confirmation of the manifestation right there in front of you. However it came, whether it was supernaturally by a gift from God because He loves you, because of that intimate fellowship with Him, or because He loves you enough that He gave you the ability to go and get it. Doesn't make any difference. It's still a gift from God. Amen? I'm reminded, and I'll tell you again about the car that I drive right now. I just, under my breath, said, someday I'd like to have a Taurus. And it's out there. Paid for. Still running like a champ. It looks a little rugged on the outside because of the loose nut behind the wheel. But I see you all know what I'm talking about there. I said the loose nut behind the wheel. Well, whatever works, Deborah. I resemble all of it. Glory to God. For we were saved in this hope in verse 24. But hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees or what you've already got? You don't. It's that simple. Verse 25. But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. How many think you've lost your perseverance in some place right now? And something you're going through. I got one honest person here who's willing to nod her head and say, yes, sir, I know what you're talking about. Now, I know y'all, the rest of you, aren't any different than me, so I know it's the same thing. So just remember, God knows. You can't hide from Him. Have mercy, Lord. But if we hope for what we see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weakness. There's the help of God. See? He's been on the scene the whole time. You're the one who took a detour and went and hid in the cave and started, as I said, licking your wounds and crying, woe is me. Oh my God. What's wrong with me, Lord? Is this ever going to change? Am I ever going to become mature? There must be something wrong with me, Lord, that what your word doesn't relate to me. Tie that nonsense outside, as Stan would say. Likewise, the Spirit also helps our weakness, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Even at the point of your weakness, or when you're in that state, the Holy Spirit is still on the scene because God's gifts and calling are without repentance. And one of the gifts He gave, Jesus promised when He ascended into heaven. If I go, I will send the Comforter. Amen? Did He or did He not? Yes, glory to God. Makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now He who searches the heart knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because He makes intercession for who? The saints. Say, that's me. Amen. According, listen to this. He doesn't just make intercession, but He makes intercession according to the will of God. Verse 27. Now listen carefully. Verse 28 says, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. For whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed. Predestined you to be conformed to His image, or the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. the firstborn among many brethren. It didn't end when Jesus died. We're still fulfilling the work and the desire of the Father, or we should be in this day and age. And we can't do it when we're focused on ourselves and our little apprehensions, our little misgivings, or our little petty things that we worry about and say, "Oh God, I don't understand." And it's not wrong to go to Him and say, "Lord, I don't understand. You understand that's where I got this message from?" Crying out, "God, I need answers. I need to know. I'm tired of where I'm at. I don't like it. I don't want to be here anymore." You understand what I'm saying by that? In the state that I was in. Did you hear that? Was in? Praise God. And if you need to say that, remember that you call those things which be not as though they are. God is so good. He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among men. Verse 30 says, "Moreover, whom He predestined, these He also called." Uh-oh. We read in Romans 11:29, the gifts and calling of God without repentance. Now He's confirming right here in Romans, in the previous chapter. He says in verse 30, "Moreover, whom He predestined, these He also called." You're called and predestined. Did you know that, Gene? You're called and predestined. Praise the Lord. "Whom He called, these He also justified." Just as if you had never sinned. Never missed the mark. Amen? Y'all ought to be getting excited about now. Hallelujah. "And whom He justified, these also He glorified." What shall we say then to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? You want an answer? You and I. We become the worst enemy we have. Amen? We got a ways to go, Gene. "He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things?" He's already given the best He's got. The rest of it is no big deal to Him. Do you know that we're like the men with the talents? Listen carefully now. We have been given a gift of Jesus, the fulfillment of God's plan to redeem mankind. Now, what are we going to do with that? Are we going to bury that, sitting in our own little cubicles or worlds, letting the things of God go by? Or are we going to rise up, stand up, like the songs we sang this morning? You know, I'm reminded of another song that says, "We are the soldiers in the army. We have to fight, although we have to die. We got to hold up His blood-stained banner. We got to hold it up until we die." Glory, glory, glory. Thank You, Lord Jesus. Thank You, Father. "He who did not spare His own Son, but He delivered Him up for us all, how shall we not with Him also be..." Or "How shall He not with Him also freely..." Freely. Freely. There's no strings attached, folks. Love Him and trust Him. How difficult is that? We find it a little difficult to love somebody and to trust somebody who's wronged us. But one who's freely given us all things, who gave us back our life when we were perishing and dying, when we deserved the judgment that was against us, and now, because of the work, it's done away with. Why will I sit in the mother groups? Beyond me. "Who shall bring a charge against God's elect?" Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? Do you know that the only person who's really capable of doing that is you and I? Listen to me carefully, folks. I've heard for years people use this old cliche, "You're your own worst enemy." And we can say honestly, amen, that's right, we are. Because we're a little bit selfish. We're a little bit impatient. We're a little bit apprehensive. And sometimes we just flat are not sure God means what He says. Even though He's never failed us, He's always come through, hasn't He? Hasn't He? Deline, did you get here by accident? No. What does the Bible say? A righteous man's steps. What makes you righteous? What is your righteousness? It's the righteous one who dwells in you. Amen? Woohoo! Who can bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Last verse of this chapter, of this passage. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died and furthermore is also risen. Who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Not did, not sometimes, but continually makes intercession for us. The only way you or I can fail or God's promises not come true is if we give up and sit down. Did you hear me? If we give up and sit down. I guess you could say that since I can't get behind myself and plant my size 10 on my backside, the Holy Spirit did it. Amen? And I'm glad He did. Because let's face it, when you're in those situations, you have all kinds of goofy thoughts. Oh yeah, everybody can nod their head and say amen, or say oh me, I don't care which. Help us, Lord. Have mercy. James chapter 1, verses 2 through 8. Turn with me to James chapter 1, verses 2 through 8. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, that you may be perfect and complete, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Wow. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for he who doubts is like the wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. You're up again, you're down again. God did something for you, and now you're going like gangbusters, and all of a sudden something else that you're looking for, and you're right back again. The waves blow, you know, and you're being tossed, just like a ship without a rudder on the sea. No ability to steer that ship. By the Holy Spirit and by the promises of God, you should be so steadfast, and that rudder should be set on course and should never vary, no matter how big the waves and the storm is. Amen? Why? Because the greater one dwells within you, and His Holy Spirit dwells within you. The living Word dwells within you. Why? Because you have made decision in time past to put it there. Amen? I'm having fun, folks. This is good stuff. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Whew. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. How many here is unstable? Now, we may act like it once in a while, but we're not unstable. If God's in our life, no matter what it looks like, we're not unstable. We have that rock and that anchor in our lives that are keeping us from going off course. Amen? Right? Oh, man. It's all I can do to keep from just shouting and jumping. Psalm 34, 15 through 22. Psalm 34, 15 through 22. Again, familiar scripture, but hopefully today it'll have new meaning for you, like it does me. For those of you who don't know what's happening this morning, is I'm preaching myself out of the mess that I've created because of my silliness. You hear me? You hear me? Not so much because of physical actions, but because of indifference and stinking thinking. You hear me? Psalm 34, 15 through 22. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and His ears are open to their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. Say, that's not me. Amen. You need to believe that. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears. Say, that's me. And delivers them out of all what? Their troubles. Man, I'll tell you what, if I took this jacket off, you'd see the biggest goosebumps you ever saw in your life. The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart and saves such as have a contrite spirit. How many have ever been in a place where you've had a broken heart? Many are the afflictions of the righteous. Listen carefully. This is one of the main scriptures. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all, or delivers him out of them all. Wait a minute. We better read that again. I'm not sure I read that right. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. Amen. All. That means there's nothing left behind, is there? Nothing left. All. Pretty aggressive. He guards his bones. Not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and those who hate righteousness shall be condemned. Don't be caught up in what's going on around you. Are you reading? Are you listening to this? Are you looking at this? Evil shall slay the wicked, and those who hate the righteous, say, that's me. You're the righteous, not the one who's hating. You understand that? I just want to be sure we're all on the same page. And those who hate righteousness shall be condemned. The Lord redeems the soul. The Lord redeems the soul. The Lord redeems the soul of His servants. And none of those who trust in Him shall be condemned. Glory to God. 34:19 is the key scripture, folks. In John 16:33, it tells us that He's overcome the world. And any and all tribulations we go through. I'm going to read it to you. I don't want to just talk about it. I want to read it to you. We're going to close here in a minute or two. Is anybody getting anything out of this? Is this helping anybody besides me? John 16:33. These things have I spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Now listen, folks. The scripture says that if we live with Him, one of the things we do is we also died with Him. So the victory that He's provided, we walk in. The victory that He lives in, that He lived in, He's provided to us. We walk in that same victory. And if you're not, maybe you need to go back and search the scripture and see where you're missing the boat and come in alignment with God's Word. How many know the Spirit and the Word agree? That means you and I have to come in agreement with the Spirit and the Word. Amen? And what happens? Peace. It's a manifestation of the Word and the Spirit and you agreeing too. Peace comes into your life. Assurance and hope. Knowing. Amen? Glory to God. Micah 6:8. Listen carefully. He showed you. He's shown all of us what is good and what He requires of us, simply to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with our God. Romans 4:17, another familiar passage. Romans 4:17. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. In the presence of Him who He believed, God who gives His life to the dead and calls... Now listen. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. In the presence of Him whom He believed, God who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. My notes here say, call what is not as though it is. 2 Corinthians 5:7. Who can say that? For we walk by faith and not by sight. Remember we talked earlier about hope? If you've already seen what you're hoping for, then there's no hope anymore, is there? But we walk by faith and not by sight. Why do we walk by faith and not by sight? Because by faith we know we'll have what we ask according to the Word of God. Because God's not a respecter of persons. He's not a liar. He doesn't change. And what He said, He will do. Amen? And that's in every life. And there's no fine print that says, except for, and you can put your name there. It includes you and I. Amen? And then Hebrews 4:16, which we talked about at the very beginning, hearing that song. It says, let us come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. So what's our answer today? Return to the rock that's higher than us. Amen? In Him, all the promises are what? Yes, and so be it. Yes and amen. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Where did we ever lose sight of the fact or get the idea that we could lose? It's not possible. This may be kind of a funny anecdote to some folks, but it's truth. You need to hang on to it. It's life. With God in His baseball game, it's not 9 innings and you're out. It's His bat and ball. And we play till we win. Glory to God. We play till we win. Hallelujah. The devil can't come up or some snot-nosed little kid come up and say, I'm going to take my bat and ball and go home. It's God's bat and ball. And you and I are on the first string. Is there a first string in baseball? I don't know. That shows you my... I don't know. We're on the first string. Hallelujah. In closing, rejoice in the Lord always. And then he repeated, again I say, rejoice. Amen? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Mary, what's your need this morning? You need prayer, I can tell. In your ear? Well, I know what's causing it. Well, it's a lie from the enemy. And it's just to keep you from coming. It's to keep you from going on with God. It's to keep you from staying focused on who the healer is. You want to come up here or you want us to come back there and pray for you? Come on, you saints, you powerful prayer warriors. This can't stand. This can't stand. This is not God's plan for you. It's God's kids who's been given authority, the authority of God. We take authority over this. We speak to this thing. We don't care what the symptoms are. We don't care what, you know, it doesn't make a difference even who sent it. As we know who sent it. It's the enemy. But the point is, at the name of Jesus, what? Every knee must bow and every tongue must confess that He is Lord. Amen? And that means even infirmities like this. Remember we read, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but what? God delivers them out of them all. In this life you'll have, in this world you'll have tribulations, but be of good cheer. He's overcome the world. He paid the price by the bruises and blood and stripes that He bore. Amen, Mary? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Somebody feels like praying, go ahead. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We rebuke this thing. I speak to it. Go in Jesus' name. Yes. Yeah. Yep. Well, you know why? That's right. That's exactly right. We've got a new address. Amen?
Hallelujah.
Anybody else? Anybody else? Okay. Okay. Is she going to school out there or something?
Well, she has a boyfriend and she's going to go back to
him. Okay.
December.
Okay. Amen. And you know the cool thing? Even if she didn't know the Lord, because of the righteousness of her family and the stand of her mom and dad who know the Lord, God will do it just because of that. Just like the jailer with Paul and Silas when they were in prison. Amen. Thank you, Lord. What's that? They think they're not going away. That's right. Amen. Praise the Lord. Okay, Lord, you've heard it. We agree with it, Lord. We thank you for traveling mercies, for protection. Thank you that your angels have charge over Melissa. And Lord, we've already prayed the prayer of faith. We're not going to take it back, and we're not going to wane, Lord, from that. In Jesus' name, devil, get your hands off this lady. And this manifestation, we command it to dissolve and disappear and go on the one who sent it. And that, Father, whatever is necessary in that to cause her to grow, to cause her to be illuminated, then, Lord, we thank you for that in Jesus' name. And through all of it, you're going to get all the glory, all the honor. We praise you and thank you. Hallelujah. Anybody else? Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Well, Father, we thank you for this day and we thank you for this time. I thank you, Lord, for the comfort which you sent. I thank you that he indwells us, that he is intertwined with our spirit. And the two spirits can't be told apart because we're in you and you're in us, Lord. The Holy Spirit, the Comforter, is with us according to the purpose and plan. Purpose and plan. Father, you purposed it. So the Holy Spirit is with us, leading us, guiding us into all truth, and reminding us of the revelation and giving us new revelation of who you are, what you're about, and how you feel towards us. Your gifts and your calling are without repentance. Your thoughts towards us are thoughts of good and not for evil, thoughts to prosper us, not to harm us, and to give us a hope and a future. We thank you for that now. Now, by the Holy Spirit, seal this word in every heart, Lord. I thank you that it fell on fertile ground in every life, starting right here. And it's going to bring forth much and great fruit for your honor and glory and for your kingdom, in Jesus' name. Now, bless your people. Go with them, Lord. Let your countenance and your favor shine on them and be with them. Let them rise up with joy. Let their light shine, the countenance of their face, Lord, that people will ask, why are you so happy? And they'll say with absolute assurance in their voices, the greater one dwells within me, the one who has and is the answer to everything is who I serve. And lives will be touched and changed because of that declaration. Once again, we praise you and thank you, give you all honor and glory. And we say it's finished in Jesus' name. Amen.